Last Lord's Day, we were continuing our study concerning guarding against materialism as we went to Mark chapter 10 and noticed the account of the rich young ruler. And we learned many lessons from our study that we should apply to our own lives. And so this morning, let's continue our study of guarding against materialism by noting one more point concerning Mark chapter 10 with the rich young ruler. And then we want to go to Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21, and study together from the parable of the rich foolish farmer. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to remember those initials, PFE, to help us every day do just that, prepare for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as, yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be following John 4:24 to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want to assure you that you will be very much welcome if you join in with us. Something else we want to mention, if you would like to study the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities. Please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available, and we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. And of course, your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now I want to make another announcement concerning the upcoming Stop 11 Road Church of Christ annual lectureship. This is to begin November the 2nd, that's on the Lord's Day, continuing through November the 6th, that would be a Thursday. What is the theme? Triumphs and Tragedies, Lessons from Unnamed and Obscure People of the Bible. The times of the lectureship, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., good potluck lunch, then 1:30 p.m., 2:30 p.m. sessions. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., an excellent lunch provided, 1:30 p.m., 7 p.m., and 8 p.m. And a number of very good gospel preachers are lined up as speakers. Not that I'm a great gospel preacher, but I'm honored to be a part of this great lectureship, and I look forward to it every year. Now, let's get into our study this morning. Again, guarding against materialism, one point we wanted to finish up with Mark chapter 10, and that is concerning what Jesus was saying here to the rich young ruler as he was telling him to give to the poor all that he has, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. Well, he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Then we noted Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, this is verse 23, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And then Jesus goes on to say, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, I know in reading commentators on this verse, they believe that the eye of a needle to which Jesus referred was an opening in a wall that would require a camel to kneel down so he could pass through the opening. Well, that illustrates that one must humble himself to follow Christ. Well, it's true. We do have to humble ourselves, as we must become as little children, Matthew 18:1-4, in order to follow Christ. But is that the point that our Lord and Savior was making? Well, we need to know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all use the Greek word raphis, R-H-A-P-H-I-S, referring to a sewing needle, or in Luke's case, a surgical needle, as he was a physician. And therefore, Jesus was saying, if one trusts in his riches, it is not possible for him to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we need to realize we cannot trust in our riches and follow Christ. And that's what happened with this rich young ruler as to why he wasn't becoming a follower of Christ, because he trusted in his possessions. Well, let's go on with our study this morning of the parable of the rich, foolish farmer now, as this is found in Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 13. So we're going to see, as this certainly relates to our study of guarding against materialism, Jesus spoke this parable to warn about the dangers of covetousness. And not only to the man who had asked Jesus a question, as we're going to get the context of the parable, but also to the people who had gathered around the master teacher. Notice verse 13 of Luke 12. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, notice that, them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Well, that certainly relates to our study, doesn't it? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, as you see in this parable, it certainly is a lesson for us today, as well as it was in the first century. Let's ask this question. Why did God call this rich farmer, thou fool? Well, one, because this rich farmer did not consult God's word for direction in his life. No, but he consulted only with his desires. You remember what Jeremiah said years before in Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. If we think that we can direct our steps, we're badly mistaken. We need to allow God to direct our steps in this life. And you see, here with this rich farmer, he thought within himself. instead of being like Jeremiah. And here's another reason why God called this man "thou fool," because he was concerned only about his material possessions and eating and drinking so he could be happy, merry. Verse 19, Jesus said, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Verse 15. So that's something to take note of, isn't it? And three, because, and this is again why he was called "thou fool" by God, because he only planned for this life and the years that he did not have. Verses 19 through 21. Yes, that's right. So what was it that Jesus commanded us to seek first? Remember? Was it fame? Was it fortune? Foolishness? Or was it the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Well, I think all of us should know that. Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But how many people today are not concerned with eternity, nor the fact that this life is temporal? Young people, are they thinking about preparing for death? Most of them are not even thinking about death at all, and they live as if there's no tomorrow. You see, they're not preparing for eternity by sowing their wild oats, certainly not. You're going to get a bad crop every time. Well, how many people today are just for the here and now? And that's not just young people, is it? Well, let's notice in this parable of our Lord and Savior, this foolish farmer, as he was thinking incorrectly, obviously, there are a number of verses that we can add to this and learn from this. For example, 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, the inspired Apostle Paul writing to the Church of Christ at Corinth, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, that's the difference. Eternal is what we're looking forward to, being with God in heaven, and the things that are temporal now are physical. And so we're dealing with spiritual over the physical if we have our priorities in the right order. Well, let's go on. James 4:13-14. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's gone. Just like the steam out of the kettle goes up into the air in the kitchen or wherever you're boiling the water, it's gone. Well, that's the point of our life. It'll be gone before we know it. Remember Amos, who became a prophet of God by leaving being a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit? He gives a very clear picture of those who abused material possessions and lived in accordance to their fleshy desires. This is Amos 6:1-6, and of course he was writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye into Calneth, and see, and from thence go to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms? Are their border great than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Now notice. That lie upon beds of ivory, stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph, his descendants, you see. No, they weren't concerned with spirituality. They were concerned about physicality, if you want to term it that way. Well, there are a number of examples in the New Testament involving the misuse of money, and we need to take the time to look at some of these in our study of guarding against materialism. Remember when Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and took a whip to them and ran them out of the temple, John 2:14-16. Well, certainly they were misusing money, cheating people. In Luke's account of the Lord's parable on the pounds, and of course there was the parable of the talents in Matthew's account, chapter 25. But notice the 1 pound man here in Luke's account, Luke 19:12-27, he hid his pound in a napkin. In other words, he did nothing with the money which he was given by a certain nobleman. And so he misused what he had instead of getting, you know, interest on what he was given. Well, the worst misuse of money, certainly we would all agree with this, was when Christ was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. As Judas Iscariot, he met with the chief priests and captains in how he might betray Christ. And they were glad with these chief priests and captains. They were glad and they coveted to give him money. This is Luke 22:3-6. Yes. And instead of going to the Lord and receiving forgiveness, he had a worldly sorrow. And he threw the money back into the temple, as Zechariah prophesied, and the money was used to buy the potter's field. It went to the potter, just like Zechariah had prophesied. And of course, the exact amount of 30 pieces of silver. So that was blood money. The priest didn't want to put it back in the treasury. Yes. So that was certainly the worst misuse of money. And here's another bad misuse of money. When the chief priest, again, when they assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Why did they do that? To lie, saying the disciples stole the missing body of our Lord and Savior while they slept. Matthew 28:12-13. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira, after the church began, it's growing. There in Acts chapter 5, you see Ananias and Sapphira lied before the apostles. They lied unto God about the amount of money that they had received from selling some land. They agreed to say that they were giving all the money, and certainly that wasn't the case. They held some back. And they did not have to give all the money, but the problem was they wanted glory to which they were not entitled. This is Acts 5:1-11. That was a misuse, wasn't it, of money? What about Simon, the former sorcerer, when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given? And so he offered them money. But the Apostle Peter gave him a stern rebuke instead, and he was told concerning the second law of pardon to repent of this thy wickedness and pray for forgiveness, of course, of what he had done. This is Acts 8, 18 through 24. And remember Paul before Felix. Paul was reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. What was Felix's reaction? Well, he trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He had hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Acts 24, 25 through 26. We know that Paul did not have any thoughts of bribing Felix, but rather on his mind was what? Teaching him the gospel of Christ. So, regardless of our net worth, we in the Lord's church are all blessed by God beyond measure, and thus let us be determined not to be like the foolish farmer, nor any of the examples that we've just looked at in the scriptures of those who misused money. But let us be determined to do the best we can with what we have to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Colossians 3:23, 1 Peter 4:11. Let's take this to heart. And so our study, guarding against materialism, yes, as we, well, before we close out, I think we should include in our study, guarding against materialism, about the proper use of money to the glory of God by faithful brethren who have been blessed with great wealth but are not trusting in their riches. Instead, they are doing great things with the offerings that they make unto God. And so by the grace of God and His special providence, these generous brethren are able to do the following works of righteousness and more. By giving large contributions to their local congregations, the Lord's work is able to be carried out better. By their supporting preachers, some of these brethren do it extra beside their contribution. And these preachers are helping small congregations. Certainly missionaries are receiving individual support, not only from congregations, but what about from various individuals who have been blessed. And the gospel is carried abroad. The spread of the gospel certainly is needed throughout the world. What about edification of the brethren? That's expanded. And by their helping along sound brotherhood publications, radio and television Bible programs, advertisements for gospel meetings and lectureships, the Word of God is able to reach even into more homes. And by their contributing to benevolent works, that's including those outside the body of Christ, such as victims in need after a natural disaster. Look at the good that can be done to the glory of God with the proper use of money, of wealth, possessions as well, supplying blankets and things people need for shelter and so forth. Brethren, those in the Lord's church, is not the giver being blessed more than those who receive the help? Acts 20:35 gives us the answer. Well, one other lesson I want to allude to that we have a little time for here would be when Jesus spoke from a ship on the seaside to the multitude on the shore. And our Lord often used parables in His teaching, as we've seen already. And this parable is, of course, familiar to us all, should be, about a sower, the seed, and four types of soils. And this is, of course, farming, a very familiar illustration, and most people in the first century would understand it as they should today as well. What Jesus told his disciples was and is the complete and final inspired interpretation. This is Matthew 13, 18 through 23. So, as you'll recall, there were four types of soils, and these were representing four types of hearts. And every accountable soul fits into one of the four types of hearts. Yes. And we don't want to be with a hard heart, the hard ground where it doesn't even receive the Word of God. Certainly not. We don't want to have obeyed the gospel, and then because we're not getting roots, and being grounded in the truth, and when persecution comes, the sun comes out, the plant dies. We don't want to be like that in rocky soil. No, and we don't want to be like that in the thorny ground either, where in this parable, the thorny shrubs grow roots which occupy a large area. The plant and the thorny shrub cannot grow together, indicating that one cannot have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. Matthew 6:24 applies there, doesn't it? And so the thorns were representing what? The riches, the cares of this life, pleasures. That chokes out the Word of God. That's what we've been studying, the deceitfulness of riches. Yes. And so that's a distraction from submitting to the will of God and represented by the thorns. And of course, Satan wants to choke out the Word of God from our hearts. Yes. And end up dying spiritually like the plant died in the parable. So, have we obeyed the gospel of Christ? If not, we stand ready to assist anyone in submitting to the gospel which Jesus has proclaimed. It's the good news. Don't allow the necessities and affairs of this life or pleasures of this life choke out the Word of God. If we have obeyed the gospel, we don't want to end up becoming unfaithful and die spiritually. So when attending the services of the congregation, if that becomes secondary to sports, vacation, and other necessary and pleasurable activities, well, they may not be wrong in themselves, but if that's taking priority over our spiritual lives, it is. As we noted in Matthew 6:33, so even buying food and clothing, getting exercise, and doing work around the home and yard, we can't let that interfere with our faithfulness to God. That's the point. So, as we've studied guarding against materialism, that's the deceitfulness of riches. Let's do the best we can in serving God with what we have. And let's have a strong desire for the Word of God, purposing our hearts, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, again, if you have not obeyed the gospel, what do you need to do? First of all, hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, get out of a sinful life and do the will of God, then make the good confession unto salvation. Then you're ready to be immersed into a watery grave, contacting the precious blood of Christ. And we want to thank you so much for listening today.